liter ci pour faire ça boulet là sing and the team hand over to you to give us a brief presentation for what you want to say.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start by introducing the ITEC delegation. Next to me is Philip, the General Manager of Corporate Services. In the middle is Karina, she's the Senior Manager in Trade Remedies. And on my far left is Dr. Opinye Luwaku, our Chief Economist. Mine is here, the Chair. It is to run through the presentation. The difficult part will be handled by my colleagues, so we're answering your questions. Chair, those are the items that I'll speak to. The presentation is not as long as it appears. Some of the slides contain what honorable members already know and are aware of, and so I'll be moving fast in some of those slides. Chair, we are opening the presentation by quoting both Minister Patel and Minister Davis on the change in global trade policy landscape and what that means for ITEC into the future. Minister Patel states, amongst others, that last year saw the rise of economic nationalism, particularly in Europe and the United States, with greater focus on the cost of global economic integration. This development can impact on our economy, though the nature and extent of the impact is as yet not clear. Given our focus on industrialization, it is clear that we need policy space on trade matters that enables short and medium-term support to be given to industries with growth potential, while carefully weighing the costs thereof on consumers and competitiveness. Minister Davis states, among others, that as a small economy accounting for only 0.5% of world trade, if we become overly protectionist, we risk being denied access to other markets on whom jobs and productive sectors in our country depend. If we break trade rules, there will be consequences and we will risk retaliation. But within these constraints, the emerging new circumstances call on us to be more resolute and indeed smart in advancing and defending our own national interests. This would include defending our right to take tariff decisions on our own based on our own needs and to deploy appropriate trade remedies. Honorable members, you are familiar with that slide. It's just the snapshot of ITEC connecting our key strategic objectives to performance areas and our services. The next slide is, it's the core business units of ITEC with 69 funded positions out of a total of 131 for the whole of ITEC. We have the tariff investigations broken down into various sectors. Then we have trade remedies responsible for administering anti-dumping, countervailing and safeguard measures. Then we have the third unit, import and export control, responsible for the adjudication and issuing of import and export permits for selected goods in terms of the regulation, as well as the enforcement of the regulation. In terms of our policy framework, nothing has changed. The NDP provides the long-term vision, the new growth path, IPEP, and the South African Trade Policy and Strategy Framework provide clear policy parameters within which to execute our mandate. The Commission, as you are aware, follows a developmental approach to tariff setting for both agricultural and industrial goods. The policy approach remains the same. It is neither a rigid blanket increase nor blanket reduction in tariffs. Tariffs are instruments of industrial policy. The Commission's recommendations are evidence-based and conducted on a case-by-case basis. You're also familiar with that slide, honorable members, on trends in tariff increases. As you can see, from 2003 to 2007-08, there is a decline in tariff increases. From 2009, that is at the onset of the global financial crisis, to 2014-15, there is a rise in tariff increases. These trends are explained in both periods by changes in the global and domestic economic conditions and the evolution of trade policy. There is, in the last 2 years, 15-16, 16-17, a slight decline. In fact, if it were not for the steel investigations in the past 2 years, we would have seen much less in terms of tariff increases. On trade remedies, there are three trade remedy instruments: anti-dumping, countervailing, and safeguards. Of these three, anti-dumping is the most frequently invoked, both globally and in South Africa. Since 2012, more interest has been shown in the countervailing instrument, and 4 new applications were received from industry. But none of these succeeded due to the stringent rules and how developed countries have structured their subsidies for agriculture. In the next slide, honorable members, we show the trend analysis on anti-dumping investigations. As you can see, since 2004, it's been a downward trend on original anti-dumping investigations. This is partly explained by our bilateral trade arrangements that we have with China. The most acted against country in terms of the anti-dumping instrument is China, both globally and domestically. Chair, on the next slide, we were here last year in September to give an update on the steel investigation. This update is similar to the one we gave, but with latest information. You are aware of the tariff increases that were recommended and implemented on primary steel products based on an application by AMSA. We provide the list of the products that were covered. We also had 2 safeguard investigations that were initiated on hot rolled and cold rolled steel. We also self-initiated a number of tariff increases for the downstream steel products. Those are the duties on primary steel that were imposed in 2015 and 2016. On the next slide, Chair, that's the justification for the steel increases. And at the center of all this is that there has been this increase in imports of primary steel, and in particular from China. And these low price imports have resulted in price disadvantages for the domestic firms. And this takes place at the back of a global oversupply of steel that has depressed global steel prices. There are conditions to steel increases that the benefiting industry had to commit to, as listed in the slide, including commitments made on prices so that the downstream users access the products at affordable prices. There has been a concern that there are some types and grades of materials not manufactured by AMSA, which are part of the tariff lines where duties have been imposed. For this, the Commission is considering applications for rebates. The Commission, as I indicated earlier on, has also self-initiated an investigation to look at increasing tariffs for the downstream that faces stiff competition from imports of the finished goods. You are also aware, honorable members, that there is a committee on steel that has been established by the minister, the purpose of which is to monitor the impact of changes in import tariffs, the reciprocal commitments, jobs in the whole value chain, and import and export trends. The committee is making progress, and its first report was submitted to the commission in December last year, which has also been submitted to the ministers. Chair, we thought that it would also be useful just to provide the latest with regards to the poultry tariff regime. In 2013, tariffs were increased on poultry meat. The increases were based on an application by the South African Poultry Association on behalf of a number of companies. In the next slide, we provide what was requested by the South African Poultry Association in terms of tariff increases. And then in the next slide, we provide what was ultimately approved to be the tariff regime for the poultry meat, differentiated according to the various chicken meat types. With regards to trade remedies on poultry, there are anti-dumping duties on bone-in chicken meat portions originating from the USA that were imposed way back in 2000. We've recently initiated a third sunset review of these anti-dumping investigations against imports from the US. These anti-dumping duties, again, since 2000 have been maintained through sunset reviews in 2006 and 2012. In December 2015, a temporary rebate was created to allow for a free anti-dumping duty importation of 65,000 tons of US bone-in chicken portions annually. This was done in the context of South Africa's continued participation under AGOA. There are also anti-dumping duties on bone-in chicken portions against imports from Germany, Netherlands, and the UK that were imposed in February 2015. And these have not been as effective as we had thought. That is why later on we got an application from the South African Poultry Association for safeguard measures in terms of the bilateral trade agreement that we have with the EU, the TDCA then, and now the Economic Partnership Agreement. We are at the final stages of that investigation. On import and export control, we have the measures that are governed by WTO rules. Import controls and export controls are essentially for health, safety, and environmental reasons. ITEC has positioned itself to play a more strategic role with regard to import controls as well as enforcement. Minerals beneficiation has been identified as one of the areas where jobs will be created, and this has meant an alignment of ITEC's export control measures to give support to local beneficiation. We have strengthened our export control measures on scrap metal through the introduction of the price preference system to promote investment and employment opportunities in the domestic metals beneficiation and fabrication industries, and to supply to government infrastructure programs. Since this was the first time that ITEC administered such a system, focus was placed on ensuring its effective administration and managing litigation. We've been taken to court by the scrap metal merchants three times since the establishment of this price preference system. And in the three cases, the court has ruled in our favor. In Pretoria, Cape Town, and Bloemfontein, now we are headed for the Constitutional Court. On judicial reviews, as you are aware, honorable members, there are different and conflicting interests in the value chain of each investigation, which may lead to court challenges by parties that stand to lose. In respect of court cases, ITEC appeared in domestic courts 28 times since its establishment in 2003. Out of the 28 cases, 20 were ruled in favor and 8 against, and the 8 were mostly in the early days of ITEC. Other jurisdictions face similar challenges. There is also the WTO dispute settlement mechanism within which government-to-government disputes are addressed. I think we've been there once, and the matter was resolved at a consultation level. We were taken by the Brazilians on chicken. We have also provided honorable members a summary of the impact assessments that we have conducted in the past 3 years. Impact assessments are looking at whether or not ITEC instruments have made a positive impact, and this depends on the extent to which the support has resulted in increased domestic manufacturing, investment, employment, value addition, and competitiveness after the support was given, in comparison to the periods before the support using firm-level data. In the case of Aerosun, exports increased and additional jobs were created. In the case of home textiles, we saw an increase in investment and jobs. In the case of Vectronics, with the rebate amendment, the firm commenced the local manufacture of flat panel television. The firm created 87 additional direct jobs during the period 2010 to 2012. After ITEC laid the foundation through the provision of the rebate support, the IDC, in complement, provided the firm with a loan, and both institutions therefore contributed to the aforementioned achievements by the firm. On poultry, despite the tariff support and depreciation of the rand, imports are landed on the South African market at prices below the domestic ex-factory prices. This continues to be a challenge. That is why we are now addressing this challenge through trade remedies, particularly the safeguard in terms of the SAEU bilateral trade arrangement. With regards to pasta, the situation remains challenging. Proceeding to the next cases, the case of Tricom, the power pylon. The firm was able to retain 50% of jobs following the recovery in domestic production after the support was made available. However, they have been losing export market share in the continent, particularly to China. In the case of acrylic blankets, the outcomes have not been so good. Continued large volumes of imports from China, in this case, knitted polyester blankets, and no longer the acrylic blankets that we had provided for protection for, continue to come in. On resources, honorable members, with regards to personnel, ITEC has a total of 131 funded positions within its establishment. And this number excludes the 20 contract and internship positions that are listed in the slide, as you can see. Our workforce as at 31st March 2017 was 126 with 5 vacant positions, excluding the contract and internship positions. We also provide an employee profile breakdown. On the financial resources, over the past 3 years, ITEC's total expenditure has been steadily rising against the total revenue. During the 2014 MTF allocations, ITEC's baseline budget from 2015-16 and 16-17 was reduced by 4.8 million and 7.3 million respectively, a total reduction of just a slight correction there of 12.1 million. The shortfall caused by that reduction was financed from ITEC's accumulated surpluses, which as at the end of 15-16 financial year was 19.9 million. The remaining accumulated surplus amount is expected to be fully utilized by the end of 2017-18 financial year, and in this regard we've made a request to EDD for additional allocation, without which in 2018-19 we will be facing serious financial problems. On the last slide, honorable members, on our priorities for 2017-18, we've listed some of our priority projects, the first one being the ITER Amendment Bill. The ITER Act has never been reviewed since it came into force in 2003. It's 14 years now. A lot has happened, and we've had experiences, a changing environment that must be taken into account to strengthen the administration of our instruments. So this month we will be making a submission to EDD. We will also be reviewing together with EDD the anti-dumping regulations to strengthen the instrument. We are also focusing on strengthening reciprocal commitments, including monitoring the performance of the beneficiaries on the commitments that they would have made. On impact assessment, we continue to intensify the outcome-based approach. We are also going to review our safeguard guidelines in line with the Economic Partnership Agreement, which has now replaced the TDCA. And lastly, we have initiated an impact study on the price preference system on scrap metal, of which the five-year period for which it was established comes to an end in September next year. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks very much, Chief Commissioner. Let us engage the presentation, members. Doctor? Leon.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. I just had a question around the proposed changes to the price preference on scrap metal that were gazetted. I forget exactly when. It was December 2015, I think. And I know that you were going to go through a process of receiving written and oral submissions because there had been a bit of a backlash from the players in the scrap metal industry who were particularly concerned around the proposed change of making Port Elizabeth the sole port of export, which they felt was going to have a hugely negative impact on jobs in the industry, given increased transportation costs and so forth. Anyway, I wanted to know whether you could give us an update on the outcome of those oral and written submissions, and when will the guidelines be finalized by way of policy directive? Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, for the presentation. The first question relates to the anti-dumping investigation that you are conducting, and your concern mostly is around China. That is where, you know, the bigger problem comes from. But can you also explain to us if there are any challenges that you are experiencing from, for instance, the U.S. and Europe, if you could explain to us what their rules are in that regard, so that we have an idea. On the issue of tariff interventions, can you also tell us what the benefits have been up to now to the downstream users of steel, because we want to believe that you are constantly monitoring the situation and doing impact assessments. What are the tangible benefits to downstream users? The other question is, when is ITEC going to establish a committee of stakeholders to monitor the impact of the change in tariffs and steel prices on downstream users, as well as the performance of AMSA against the commitment that it has made. When is ITEC going to establish that committee that it is speaking of?
Over to you, Chief Commissioner.
Thanks, Chair. Firstly, on Dr. Cardo's question, we did go through the consultative process involving all stakeholders, and we completed that process. And the Commission considered all the relevant submissions and comments that were made by all the stakeholders. As you were saying, just above the guidelines that are administered by ITEC sits the policy directive of EDD. We have since been having an engagement with EDD, and that has not been finalized. That's the short of it is that's where the process is. So we are not yet in a position to implement any changes in the administration of the price preference system. Honorable Kliale, on China being the biggest concern, the challenge with China, if I may go back to that slide on the trend analysis with regards to the initiation of anti-dumping investigations. As you can see from 2005-2006, there is a decline in ITEC initiating anti-dumping investigations. And I was saying that is partly explained by the bilateral trade arrangements we have with China. From 2005, China was granted market economy status, which then means that when we conduct anti-dumping investigations, when we calculate dumping, we are unable to make use of alternative information, like making use of third countries or making use of normal values that would be based on cost of production. So once the Chinese companies cooperate, we are forced to take their information on what is known as normal value. And so when that happens, we struggle to find the dumping margin. So there is that challenge. The fiercest competition on industrial goods comes from China. The US and Europe, in most cases, it's the agricultural goods. And as you are aware that industrialized nations subsidize highly their agricultural sector. However, whenever we try to act against subsidized imports, our experience is that the rules are quite stringent, and the developed countries have been, in some ways, smart in designing their subsidies so that they are not actionable in terms of the WTO rules. With regards to benefits for the downstream steel industry, we have self-initiated an increase in duty on the finished products by the downstream because they have been experiencing input cost pressures from the increases that we have effected on the primary steel, which has provided some relief for those products where we have recommended to the minister an increase in tariff. In some cases, we do create rebates for the downstream on input products that are not manufactured domestically. With regards to the performance of AMSA, the committee was established by the minister to monitor the performance of AMSA against its commitments. It has produced its first report in December last year. We have provided the ministers with that report. So the committee is busy with its work already.
Second round. Tiana, then to Fakad.
Thank you, Chair. I think I was misled, Commissioner Thingwell, but by what is stated in the presentation, it says the ITEC will establish. That is how I was misled, but I take the explanation. And I remember that indeed it was established. The preamble of the presentation calls both our two ministers in economics, GTR and the EDD, extensively around the political economy and the less than satisfying economic situation around the globe. Now, given that situation, Commissioner, in your own assessment, how will Brexit affect the SAEU trade development and cooperation agreement, and what are ITEC contingency plans in this regard? And secondly, using its instruments, what role can ITEC play in the promotion of economic integration with the rest of the continent of Africa, given challenges with the G20 trading partners? Thank you.
Ricardo.
Thanks, Chair. I just had a question on the very final slide around your priorities for year ahead. You mentioned there that the ITA amendments will be a priority. Can you speak to us about what the proposed objectives of that amendment will be and when you foresee it coming before us? Thanks.
Commissioner?
Thanks, Chair. On the two questions raised by Honorable Kiale on the changed global trade policy landscape, what Brexit means for us. Remember, ITEC is just responsible for the unilateral aspects of trade policy, the bilateral, regional, multilateral trade arrangements, those are with the DTI. And the minister did make statements on what Brexit means for us, that at present really that poses no threat in terms of the trade between us and Britain, and that the focus at present would be maintaining what we have in terms of the give and take that we have under the EPA, the Economic Partnership Agreement that we have with the EU. With regards to continental integration, again, there's very little we can do as ITEC that falls under the DTI. The negotiation of the tripartite, for example, and later on a continental free trade area that falls outside our scope, and that is how in fact you will advance continental integration. It's through having it's through freeing trade in the continent, starting with the region. And DTI is now emphasizing also on developing within the continent a value chain, ensuring that there is industrial development that goes with freeing trade in the continent. Dr. Kado, on your question, just trying to recall. There are some proposals based on experience that we are making to EDD that we are not at this stage in a position to publicly state. The responsibility for the legislation is with EDD, but some of the areas that we would want to strengthen is the administration of our import and export control measures, particularly when it comes to investigation and successful prosecution of players who are found to be non-compliant. Currently, there is a weakness around enforcement, and this is one of the areas where we are making proposals to strengthen the administration of import and export control. As I was saying, I think it would be proper that the department has come to the committee to present. We will be done with, we are done actually with our proposal. So we will be making a submission this month to the department. As and when the department decides to put this before the committee, we wouldn't know. Thank you, Chair.
The last round, Dr. Kado.
One last question. In his budget speech last year, the minister mentioned having issued a directive for ITAC to consider commitments on investment, jobs, and so forth. I wanted to know how that had actually manifested itself in your day-to-day work. How have you taken up that directive by the minister? Are you able to illustrate it?
Over to you, Commissioner.
Thanks, Chair. At the time the Minister issued the directive on the reciprocal commitments, in particular on domestic production, investment, jobs, and prices, we had already started requesting these commitments, but what the directive of the minister did was to strengthen our legal arm at ITEC when it comes to these reciprocal commitments. So in all the investigations now, all applicants have to provide us with the commitment, and once the support has been provided, we monitor their performance using firstly the impact assessment after a year, after which the support would have been provided. And we also have built in 3-year reviews. And we also, in the particular case of steel, have this monitoring committee. It's challenging in terms of resources, to monitor the performance of all these industries against the reciprocal commitments that they would have made. But we are, to a certain extent, managing. We can't, for all these sectors, for example, have what we have for steel, a very structured mechanism to monitor the performance of AMCA. But we make use of the chief economist impact assessment to monitor the performance.
Members, do we have any further questions or comments? If not, can you then thank the Commissioner and the team for coming and present to us, and also thank the members for their contribution as well. The meeting stands adjourned. Yes.